Yashoda nandana brada jana ranjana Yashoda nandana brada Yashoda nandana brada jana ranjana Yashoda nandana Yamuna tira vanachari Yamuna tira Jamuna tira vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Radha Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Radha Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari जय ओम विष्णु पाद परम हंस परिव्राजक आचार्य स्तोत्र श्री श्रीमद् भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णु पाद परम हंस परिव्राजक आचार्य स्तोत्र श्री श्रीमद् भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की रामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की गंगा मैया यमुना मैया की भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की मथुरा वृंदावन धाम की हरिनाम संकीर्तन की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांगा। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 11 एंटाइटल्ड स्वयंभूव मनु एडवाइजेस ध्रुव महाराज। सर्वभूतात्मभावेन भूतावासं हरिं भवान् आराध्यापदुराध्यायं विष्णुस्तत्परमं पदम् सर्वभूतात्मभावेन भूतावासं हरिं भवान् आराध्यपदुराराध्यं विष्णुस्तत्परमं पदम् सर्वभूतात्मभावेन भूतावासं हरिं भवान् आराध्यापदुराराध्यं विष्णुस्तत्परमं पदम्। सर्वभूतात्मभावेन भूतावासं हरिं भवान् सर्वभूतात्मभावेन विष्णुस्यत्परमं पदम् सर्वभूतात्मभावेन भूतवासां हरिं भवान् सर्वभूतात्मभावेन भूतवासां हरिं भवाम् विष्णुस्यत्परमं पदम् माताजी सर्वभूतात्मभावेन भूतवासां हरिं भवान् विष्णुस्यत्परमं पदम् सर्वभूतात्मभावेन भूतावास्यां हरिं भवान् आराध्यं मा दुराराध्य विष्णुस्यत्परमं पदम् सर्वभूत इन ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज आत्मा अपॉन द सुपर सोल भावेन विद मेडिटेशन भूत ऑफ ऑल एग्जिस्टेंस आवासम द अबोड हरिम लॉर्ड हरि भवान यू आराध्य बाय वर्शिपिंग आप हैविंग अचीव्ड दुराराध्यम वेरी डिफिकल्ट टू प्रोपिएट विष्णु ऑफ लॉर्ड विष्णु तत् दैट परमम सुप्रीम पदम सिचुएशन ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरण अरविंद एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद It is very difficult to achieve the spiritual abode of Hari in the Vaikuntha planets. But you are so fortunate that you are already destined to go to that abode by worshipping Him as the supreme abode of all living entities. Purport. The material bodies of all living entities cannot exist unless sheltered by the spirit soul and the super soul. The spirit soul is dependent on the super soul, who is present even within the atom. Therefore, since anything material or spiritual is completely dependent on the Supreme Lord is referred to here as Bhuta Vasa. Dhruv Maharaj, as a Kshatriya, could have argued with his grandfather Manu when Manu requested him to stop fighting. But even though Dhruv Maharaj could have argued that as a Kshatriya it was his duty to fight with the enemy, he was informed that since every living entity is a residence of the Supreme Lord and can be considered a temple of the Lord, the unnecessary killing of any living entity is not permitted. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यामनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीजुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगना श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता श्रीराधाकांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाचाकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैतांगदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग टू डिस्कस द एपिसोड ऑफ द ग्लोरियस ध्रुव महाराज। सो फार we have seen how Dhruv Maharaj, with his intense determination and devotion, he could achieve the impossible. What great sages cannot achieve in lifetimes of austerity and penances, Dhruv Maharaj could achieve within 6 months. And the favor that he achieved also encompassed his hidden, unspoken material aspirations, which he was not very satisfied with. So when we are told that we should perform bhakti without material motivations, at our situation today, we might find it difficult, impossible, because we are not yet purified. But the day, Krishna willing, when we are purified and we are in a position where Dhruv Maharaj is now, that he is purified and he has achieved that direct darshan of the Lord, that day we will be very embarrassed that we carried material desires all the way long. So what seems difficult now will seem embarrassing later. So we should prepare our minds accordingly that, you know, the journey that I have taken, this is just going to be a baggage. So earlier I can manage my material desires, the less embarrassed I will be when I achieve the destination. So, we have been hearing His Holiness Chandamouli Swami Maharaj spoke on this chapter 3 days very beautifully, intellectually engaging and spiritually very nourishing talks. And yesterday, yesterday Ajit Mukund Prabhu also gave a very thorough analysis of the mentality of Dhruv Maharaj, the attitude that we should carry when we serve, and the nature of the Lord and nature of superiors in general, that they don't make use of their position to impose upon the follower, but they present reasoning and logic to convince the follower that what they are recommending is actually good for them. So in this chapter we see the situation Dhruv Maharaj is in now, that because one of the yakshas are actually worshippers of Lord Shiva, who live in the Himalayan region in a city called Alkapuri, that is the city of Kuvera. So one of the yakshas happened to kill Dhruv Maharaj's brother Uttama when he was out in the forest hunting. Actually, the surprising thing is that Dhruv Maharaj was told that this was going to happen. The Lord, after giving benediction to Dhruva Maharaj, he prophesied that one day your brother will be killed while he's gone out hunting in the forest, and then your stepmother, in following her son, will also meet the same destination. So we feel Dhruva Maharaj knew it in advance. Why could he still not control his emotion? Of course, as a king, it was necessary to punish. But then the discussion in this section is, why did he overdo it? So we think that if we know the future, we'll be in a better position to manage it. But not true, not always true. So, you know, expecting the unexpected is a good strategy to have, but it doesn't work. Human emotions are such that when situations present themselves and when things which have deep hurt to us happen, that hurt is real and the reaction out of that hurt is also inevitable and real. So that has to be respected, given its place. But what is the mistake is not crossing the line. That's what we learn from this episode. Now, Dhruva Maharaj was actually equipped with divine weapons. He was wielding the Narayan Astra. So we might think that a devotee, a pure devotee, blessed by the Lord, carrying divine weapons, he's invincible. He cannot do any wrong. The same attitude was carried by the Yadukumaras. So Krishna was concerned. Because they identify with me, that we are Krishna's family, number one. And second, that they are supremely powerful. So what may happen is that they may become the next burden on the earth. Krishna's goal was to remove burden from the earth. So he engaged them in a fight between Yadavas and Kauravas. So that removed the burden of the demoniac kings from the earth. But then Krishna thought, these kings, my family member themselves will become a burden. So I have to engage them to fight amongst themselves. And that will completely remove the burden of the earth. So the point is, nobody is infallible except the Lord. Only Krishna is Achyuta. Everyone else, however pure, however powerful, whoever they might be, are still prone to error. The Yadukumaras, Dhruva Maharaj, not an error, but we see their shades of action. So from the ideal most to the questionable, so that there's a range. So even in our tendency, we have this tendency to accord supreme authority to someone. If we treat somebody as an authority, it's not that irrespective of all their behavior, it should not be a blind following. That's the point. So we should also be independently thoughtful. For us, you know, for us in 2019, when we talk of Dhruva Maharaj killing Kshatriyas or Arjun killing his family members on the battlefield, we can't relate to it. We have not even killed an animal. What to speak of, like, what emotions does one, a Kshatriya, go through when he kills people? Killing for us, Vaishnavas, we can correlate it with offending devotees. Offense, aparad. So, because a verbal offense is almost as good as killing a person. That's how Ashwatthama was punished. He was insulted. That's how a Brahmana is supposed to be punished in Vedic culture. You don't penalize him materially, but you insult him. That's enough. Also, there's this beautiful story in Mahabharata where Arjun had taken a vow that anyone who insults my Gandiva, I'll kill him. And who happened to be the person to actually do that? His own elder brother, Yudhishthir Maharaj. Then Arjun was in a predicament. Oh, do I kill my elder brother? Or if I cannot follow my vow, then I have to kill myself. So then Krishna, the expert, he said, insulting your elder brother will be as good as killing him. So you insult him. So then he did so, and then he felt relieved that I could follow my vow. But then he felt, how could I insult my elder brother? I should end my life now. Then Krishna said, again, his supreme intelligence, Krishna said, to glorify oneself, to brag about one's achievements, that is as good as killing yourself. Scary, isn't it? We see the people of today, these are the exact two things people are doing. Finding fault with others and bragging about themselves. And Maharaj, in his classes in Yatra, he so beautifully made this point clear that those who are actually victims and patients of material energy, they are being glorified as heroes in the outside society. Those who are suffering from lust are being celebrated as heroes. So, I mean, what do you expect the masses to do? You are advertising the wrong ideals. So it's a very scary situation. So now that the episode where it is today is that Dhruva Maharaj, to take revenge, he started killing the Yakshas. Now there was no trial held or no court was assembled to find out who is the culprit. Dhruva Maharaj just went to the city, blew the conch, and then started killing all the Kshatriyas. This is actually what in today's terms we term as genocide. Genocide or ethnic cleansing means to punish an entire group of people for the if they are related by caste, if they are related by geography or any common characteristic. If one person has done fault, then you try to finish the whole of them. This is exactly what Hitler did in Germany. Hitler was unfortunate because he didn't have any grace, and there was no superior like Swayambhu Manu and the sages to come and tell him, "You are crossing the line, sir." He just went on, and that is the problem, as we discussed. They are glorified in outside society. His followers of those times, they felt he's great, he's our hero, he's doing the right thing. This section of society, which they identified as wrongdoers, doesn't deserve to live. Let's cleanse all of them. They're taking the role of God. Why are they there? Why have they been given birth if they didn't deserve to live? Who are you to decide if some community has to live or not? So you see the audacity and the blind followership that follows. So that is the importance of the role of teachers and our guides like Swayambhu Manu, who come and stop us at the right time. I remember, these financial scams, when they happen, they are mostly done by very clever people, mostly with bad intent, but sometimes some are also overtaken and drift away. So one person was caught in a scam and he was asked, "Didn't you know you're crossing the line? There are rules set by the company, by the government, that this is what you should do, this is what you should not do." He said, "For you, the line is clear, but for me, where I was, it was hazy. Because being here, uninfluenced by the anarthas, we think that, oh, I know how to discriminate when lust overtakes me, or greed overtakes me, or envy overcomes me. But when it actually happens, that line is not as clear, it's blurred. And then you tend to overstep, and then you realize, oh my God, now I have to suffer. I have lost my drifting from my track. I'll have to take reaction for this, and I've disturbed somebody else's life." So, intoxication. Intoxication with anarthas or intoxication with substances, it leads to the same inebriated state of mind where you can't discriminate. That's why sattvic life is required to understand Vedic teachings. You know, people ask, even philosophers, academicians study the scriptures, but they don't have the same discernment that we derive when we live a lifestyle which is conducive to understanding these scriptures. So, now, Swayambhu Manu and Dhruva Maharaj were in very different state of mind. Dhruva Maharaj was enraged and he was taking revenge, so he was in one mindset. And Swayambhu Manu, as an elder, as a person who has been there, done that, you know, with age, we tend to understand that some things need not be given that much importance. So he comes in. Actually, this happens even in our day-to-day life. And that, you know, simple things sometimes cause unnecessary conflict. One person may come in, one devotee may come in the ashram. He is in a good mood and he's joking and cracking jokes with someone else. While the other person is in a very sober and grave mood, maybe because he is either something bad has happened or someone else has given feedback. So the conflict of moods is what leads to kalaha, quarrel. Intentionally, they didn't want to have that. But what happens, they are in different moods. One is in a happy mood, so I think what I do will be excused. But the other person is in a serious mood. And he tends to take even small things seriously. And this first person doesn't expect that to happen. So then we end up in a we end up with bitter feelings on both sides. And what can we do to stop it? Nothing. Follow Vaishnava etiquette and be on the safe side. But thing is, you know, even if a person, people say the philosophy of life should be do good, be good. But do you think the world will allow you to? Even some simple, honest people I see, I know, they get caught up in so many difficulties, social, legal, because they're interacting with society and the society is not as good as them. What can they do? So, when there is a paradigm shift, like when a disciple and a guru meet, because of their differences of consciousness, there is a paradigm shift in the heart of a disciple or student. Like when we hear some subject matter for the first time, we tend to see the world in a different perspective. Then we agree, okay, I agree. I never knew that this was possible, but now I agree with you. So this is exactly what is happening with Dhruv Maharaj here. He's undergoing a paradigm shift. Swayambhu Manu will give a reasoning, an explanation of almost 25 verses. And then Dhruv Maharaj will be convinced, what you say is right, and then he'll stop. So, two persons, both have their points of view, but one person accepts them and changes their way of doing things. That's called transformation, paradigm shift. Because we tend to agree and understand that, okay, there is some good in it. Now, it is okay for a Kshatriya actually to kill if there is, you know, if someone, if for no reason, if Uttam was killed, Uttam was out on hunting, why did the Yaksha have to kill him? So that is injustice. And as His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj explained, the nature of Kshatriya is he'll immediately jump into protection. How could you? Like Parikshit Maharaj immediately came to the rescue of Dharma bull and the cow. Tell me, just tell me and then I'll take care of the rest, he said. That's Kshatriya nature. So that's what Dhruv Maharaj is doing. Some injustice has happened and he's out there to protect the victim. But this is the problem with, not problem, this is the difference between anarthas in a common man and anarthas in a leader. Now, a common man's friend or family member, if they are killed, they cannot wage a war. They sometimes cannot even manage to file an FIR. So, it is so much more important that leaders have more purified consciousness. Because if they choose, like Dhruv Maharaj, every action of theirs could have greater impact, more than proportionate impact, good or bad. So, as we saw, this is a case of using excessive force. Even sometimes police are found guilty of using excessive force, the army. And years later, a court takes the case of how the situation was and why did the soldiers kill someone they killed. And they might come out with a conclusion that it was wrong for the soldier to kill someone at that point. So what was considered shooting somebody for nationalism becomes a murder So that is excessive force, because you cannot act as per your whims. Neither does our constitution allow us to do it, nor do the Vedas allow that. So if somebody is a Kshatriya, a king, there are rules. How can you punish? That is called, in today's military terms, they are called the rules of engagement. And everything is said. If the other person is carrying a weapon, you can do this. If they are not carrying a weapon, then you can do this. So it's not whimsical. It's very systematic. So the problem was the wholesale attack that Dhruva Maharaj had undertaken was not approved by Swayambhu Manu. And now the irony is that Dhruva Maharaj was not an ordinary king. He was the grandson of Manu. And who is Manu? Manu is the lawgiver of whole mankind. Manu's Samhita and the Manusmriti, sorry. So it's like there was a case in a US court where the son of the judge had committed an offense. So, when your father is the rule maker and you happen to break the law, it becomes so much more embarrassing and a laughing stock for the society. So that is similar. That is the case that was happening here. In the previous verse, Swayambhu Manu is saying, it doesn't behoove our family, and we are supposed to be knowers of dharma. What have you done? So please stop. So what may have started as dharma can quickly turn into adharma sometimes if we don't have the right discernment, as we saw, crossing the line. And very beautifully in this verse, we say that Swayambhu Manu is very expertly using the right words. He's referring to Lord as Sarva Bhutatma Bhavena. So here, Swayambhu Manu is bringing out the Paramatma feature of the Lord. And what is so special about the Paramatma feature of the Lord? Dhruva Maharaj's own experience. Few years back, Dhruva Maharaj was deeply meditating on the Paramatma in the heart as a perfected yogi. And then the vision of Paramatma in his heart was suddenly taken away. It disappeared. And then he was disturbed. And then as soon as Dhruva Maharaj opened his eyes, the same Paramatma was standing in front of him as Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan. So Dhruva Maharaj got to experience the stages of Paramatma Bhagavan. That Sakshatkar was so real and so personal. If you have a life-changing experience like this, it'll never go away from your mind. So Swayambhu Manu is expertly reminding him of that. You remember you had such a beautiful experience? You know who you are? How can you act like this? Then Dhruva Maharaj will start thinking on his own. Yeah, makes sense. So you just have to sometimes remind somebody of their position. That's all a guru or a teacher needs to do. As all of us are told, we are eternally servants of Krishna. Bhakti is latent within us. Just by reminding that, Lord Chaitanya said, Jivara Swarupo Hoy Krishna Ra Nitya Das. So that is exactly what Swayambhu Manu is similarly saying. You are eternally superior. Don't degrade into doing lower things. Exactly what happened with Hanumanji. He had to be reminded and told that he has capacity much beyond that he thinks he has. And he could jump over the ocean and rescue Mother Sita. So this is, time and again, we see this pattern that the disciple or the student is reminded of their abilities. Guru, in one sense, they do train, and there is a process, and there is training, but sometimes it's just reminding. You don't need to do more. So, it is not just Swayambhu Manu's seniority that he's Dhruva Maharaj's grandfather or he is the lawgiver that is making Dhruva Maharaj accept. As yesterday Ajit Mukund Prabhu said, the nature of mature authorities is that they don't impose their position and use it to make their followers do what they want to do. Instead, like Krishna presented an entire chain of reasoning to Arjuna to do why he thinks is good for him to do. Similarly, Swayambhu Manu explains why is it that you should not fight. Because at the level of realizing Paramatma, which Dhruva Maharaj has already achieved, that's what he's saying in this verse. You have already received the benediction of going to Goloka. If somebody has a ticket, a ready ticket in advance of, you know, the goal is achieved and it's in your pocket. Now why are you doing some things which doesn't suit you? Because when somebody realizes the Paramatma, at that level you don't see differences between enemy and friends. You know? So like we say, even in common dealings, when we say that, you know, you're not supposed to act like this. Like we could say to a policeman who is found doing something below their dignity. So anyone who has achieved a level should not be doing something which is not suiting their dignity. That's what Swayambhu Manu is basically doing. And a sign of a Vaishnava is that a sign of a Vaishnava like Dhruva Maharaj is that he listens. Okay. I mean, Dhruva Maharaj doesn't argue one word. Okay, I agree. Let me hear you out. I agree. I listen to you. So it is very subtle. When we give attention to someone else's opinion, it means we are respecting them. And respect is a symptom of love. So the guru-disciple relationship is not necessarily logic-based or duty-bound. There's also an element of love. Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagavan ki. So that's what he's saying, that Dhruva Maharaj is being a very good disciple. In the previous chapter, actually, we see that Dhruva Maharaj was, the reason he did this was because he was overwhelmed with grief and lamentation. And then there was some anger that arose within him. That's why he took this step. But now when somebody is explaining that this is not the right mood to have, he is pacified and he changes, he transforms. Actually, it is somebody's nature also. You know, Dhruva Maharaj's nature was to be intense. He took his stepmother's bad behavior so intensely. The austerities he did in the forest were so intense. So that nature is carried over in everything somebody does. When as a king he's administering justice, that is also intense. So that underlying nature remains throughout somebody's lifetime and across his various phases of life. But what happens is, we say that, oh, it is my nature, what can I do? Fine, but we should think deeply and try to understand that, is it my nature or is it my conditioning? We generally tend to mix up the two. Conditioning is the unnecessary impressions and habits that we have accumulated on us. They are like layers of dust. And if the mirror has not been cleaned for a long time, the dust is identified as part of the mirror. So we should be careful when we say, it is my nature, I get angry. It is not your nature, it's your conditioning. And we have to overcome our conditionings. If we remain too much in the attitude of, I cannot change myself, this is my nature, what happens? We have to regret time and again. Dhruva Maharaj had to regret when the Lord appeared. Why did I ask material benedictions? Now he has to regret. Why did I kill so many yakshas? So, you know, why go through this phase of erring and then feeling guilty and apologetic again and again? So better, it's not easy, but better to come beyond our conditionings. And then what happens in the next chapter is, Kuvera says exactly this, what we discussed, that conditionings are not difficult, conditionings are very difficult to overcome. So Kuvera, because a lot of his people have been killed, it is, Dhruva Maharaj might be apprehending that Now he's going to come and be very unhappy with me, and he might even chastise me. But surprisingly, what Kuvera says is that I'm very pleased with you. What? He just killed thousands of your people. But why? Kuvera says, I'm pleased with you because on the advice of your grandfather, you gave up your enmity. The exact word is, on the instruction of your grandfather, you have given up your enmity, although it is very difficult to avoid. So, the people who have perfected, you know, the Siddhas, the advanced yoga spiritualist, they know what the process is like because they have been through it. So when they know somebody is doing something which is difficult and which is painful and they have been able to do it, they appreciate. So looking back, we know, you know, where we were most faced with pain in our life, in our journey as a sadhaka. So when we see someone else taking steps and overcoming those obstacles, we feel happy and we feel pleased with them, that they are really fighting their lower nature. And Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also says that basically Swayambhu Manu is trying to say here is that since you are the best of all devotees, you are Dhruv Maharaj for whom Lord Vishnu appeared. Actually, if we go by the storyline, why did Lord appear? Because he was told by the demigods to go and stop Dhruv Maharaj. So again, in a similar situation, Swayambhu Manu is coming to stop Dhruv Maharaj. So, of course, he's benefiting by it, but we see that Dhruv Maharaj needed to be stopped from time to time. He was pretty intense. Go stop him, he suffocated the entire air of the universe. Okay, I'm going, relax. Go stop him, he's killing Naya and innumerable Yakshas. Okay, I'll take care of him. So there is a problem with a person, but their seniors are so sure that they'll be able to manage to convince them. This is also good. So the good part is he was ready to hear. That is the quality of a Vaishnava. Till we are not perfect, the greatest virtue we can carry is to be ready to hear. Because perfection is like a long way. The whole storyline, if we can look back, is that it started with Uttanapad's favoritism. So there was a beautiful story which somebody forwarded on the group, that there was a certain devil who untied a donkey. You read that? And then the donkey went into the farmer's field and ate up his crop. So the farmer's wife got angry and she shot the donkey. That enraged the donkey owner and he shot the farmer's wife. So the story was very elaborate. Then the connected people took revenge and they killed him and him and him. So then at last only the farmer remained. So the farmer asked the devil, why did all this have to happen? The devil said, I did nothing. I just untied the donkey. So what is the lesson? We say, if God is great, why is there evil in this world? But God did nothing. He just untied the donkey. Untying the donkey is like making you encounter situations in life, giving temptations, or just living in this world, we'll be encountering situations and temptations. Is it Lord's fault? Untying the donkey is not the fault. The fault is the evil within us, that we take revenge and we overreact and we fall prey and we fight and we kill and we abuse. And then we will blame God for it. God has been so loving that He gave us the free will, and we are using it instead to blame God. That if God exists, how can there be evil? There will be evil because God doesn't interfere in your decisions, number one, and that you have not been able to purify your lower self. These are two reasons why there is evil in this world. So Uttanapad's favoritism, that was one so-called evil, and that led to Dhruv Maharaj's revengeful attitude. This was another trace of evil. And Suruchi's pride and envy. Which, I mean, Dhruva Maharaj himself realizes that these are the emotions at play, but it's not easy to just neglect them. You know, we might at the end of the story say, why did the farmer's wife shoot the donkey and why did this happen? But when you are in the situation, in the heat of it, people living in the world, they have taken it as the mission of their lives to take revenge and to get even or to get ahead. But then, if they are told what is the loop and it started with somebody untying the donkey, they'll feel, oh my God, I wasted my life for useless pursuits. So, if anarthas drive our life, we'll be embarrassed at the end of it. That is the whole essence of this pastime. Whereas, if principles drive us, we'll be very satisfied at the end of our journey that it was a meaningful life, it was a life well lived. That is the difference. So, these were a few thoughts I wanted to share with you all. So, if there are any questions or comments, we could take. Yes, Nimai.
Hari Bol, thank you very much for another wonderful class. You touched upon this aspect, probably I would like to elaborate more. There's a certain expectation that we have from a self-realized soul or somebody who's on their way to liberation, to Vaikuntha, like Dhruva Maharaj.
Yeah, surely.
And yet he exhibited a lot of humanly side of his, right? So would you like to elaborate more on that how, because this is one of the bewildering aspects that
Yeah.
masses have, that there's a certain expectation set out of spiritualists.
In one of the previous classes, somebody did ask this question. How could Dhruva Maharaj overreact? So if you are a fan of Dhruva Maharaj, you'll actually be offended. How dare you ask that Dhruva Maharaj overreacted? Like somebody asked Maharaj, how could Garuda eat snakes? Is he not a devotee? Do you know who Garuda is? Immediately get up, go and beg forgiveness from Garuda. So Maharaj actually stopped the class. You know the difference? Maharaj, as a pure soul, as a Vaishnava, he was invested in Garuda. Garuda didn't mean a person for him. Garuda means a worshipable devotee of the great Lord. So similarly, if we see Dhruva Maharaj as a Mahajan, as a pure devotee of the Lord, number one, it'll hurt us. Same as people asking, how could Krishna do so many amorous activity? Do you know who Krishna is? Do you know what tattva God is made up of? That is internal emotion, but then you have to explain in giving reasoning with smile on your face. So I'll try to do that. So Srimad Bhagavatam especially has been very, it is the maturity of the author and the followers both. Radhika Balla Prabhu touched upon this. He said this is called a critical presentation. Unlike in some other religions where their text, where their supreme text is edited and re-edited to remove all references to any negative things that their, you know, torchbearers did. That is one way to look at it. Revised edition. So this so-called saints edition. But they are editing and cutting, censoring anything which doesn't suit their understanding. But Bhagavatam is not like that. It talks of, I wouldn't say human, but it talks of Vyasadeva was not human, but he had this, he felt guilty that he was not satisfied even after presenting such great scriptures for saving the whole world. Will we say that it was his human weakness? But as you said, it is something less than what they are expected to do. So Bhagavatam is very candid about it. It again and again brings out and leaves to the reader to decide. Yeah, Vyasadeva had this feeling. Do you still want to accept him as a literary incarnation whose books you will have to read and follow for your life? Brahmaji, Lord Shiva, who is spared? This, in fact, one second. as much as it gives a feeling to a follower that how could my leader do it? Another side to it is, because this is a difficult path, if I happen to commit a mistake, I'll also be accommodated. That is another thing that we can... If I end up feeling despondent like Vyasdev after committing my life to some hard work, to some project, I will be shown the right thing by my guru. So there is hope. That what comes out of the so-called lesser than ideal behavior of our heroes. Yes, I mean, it's presented as it is. And second, it gives us hope. Okay, if Lord Shiva could not, you know, if Lord Shiva was susceptible, then who am I? We'll never be able to be proud, number one. And then we'll have hope. 11th canto, Krishna says so beautifully to Uddhava. The path of bhakti is so beautiful that even if you fall, just continue and... How does it start? And that, there is no loss, just get up and continue, just engage in devotion to me with enthusiasm. Is it the same verse? Jata Shraddha Mat Kathasu, that is what Krishna says. Don't worry, this is a difficult path. There will be difficulties, there will be slips. So Krishna is such a hope-giving master. Don't worry. Get up. If you are willing to continue and you are willing to be sincere, I'll take care of the rest. Chalo. I remember in our training, in BT training, one senior brahmachari was presenting the steps and techniques. Do you know, either avoid samaprad or ideal Vaishnava behavior, that you should do this, if you don't do this, this will happen. So at the end of the whole presentation, all of us were there together. Sri Gaucharan Prabhu was like perplexed. Perplexed. He asked the presenter, how can we take care of so much? You know, in his innocence. So of course he replied something, but over the years I have come to observe, and also Bhagavatam speaks about it. Even in 11th canto we recently read, if somebody is sincere, Krishna takes care of everything else. So that was the answer to Gaucharan Prabhu's question. Be sincere. If you cannot remember the whole flow and the rules and regulations, just be sure that you are sincere. Everything else will be taken care of. Does that address your question somewhat? Rest you can look within for answers. Anything else? Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru.
You touched upon anger being as a condition that somebody needs to overcome. I don't know if I should ask this, but...
Yeah, please feel free.
How does one do this? How does one overcome anger?
Oh, I mean, read Bhagavad Gita. Because, as we said, we could either choose to be driven by those emotions, that this is only human nature, why interfere? So we will be driven by our lower self, anger. But do you think it's unwanted? Do you have that? Yeah. So if something is unwanted, we'll definitely try to overcome it. It might be difficult, but imagine having unwanted people. Who would you like? Imagine you are in a flight. Who would you imagine driving the plane? An authorized captain or a hijacker? That is the answer to your question. Because we don't know where the hijacker will take you and what lies in future. The destination is unclear. The risk is high. It's not in your control. It's not your wish. But you are heading that way. How do you feel? Whereas if there is an authorized captain, then you know, I'll reach where I bought the ticket for in the time I was told, hopefully. Does that answer? In short, but Gita deeply and properly talks of managing all these vices. That's the whole journey of a spiritualist. All of us have our higher self and our lower self. And from time to time, according to the situations and our disposition, sometimes situations and people bring out the better of us. And sometimes situations, temptations bring out the worst of us. So we have to resonate more and more at the positive side. This also works in a way that if you see the positivity in people, they react by being the best they are. Sometimes we feel, Maharaj teaches us that, a person might have good and bad, but if you choose to see only the good, over time, the person will rise to that level of goodness that you expected of him or her. And if you see that person as a soul and as having unlimited potential, you can lift that person out of self-doubt and make that person be a glorious achiever. This works in material sense, this works in spiritual sense. So, we have to aspire to cultivate, to resonate with our higher self more and more. Yes, Mataji. We started late, so it's not really late. sorry. Officially, you cannot say that.
Thank you for a truly wonderful class. Thank you. You have made very, very valid and very thoughtful, thought-provoking points. Lots of takeaways for me. I would like to add something to the discussion,
please, if I may. I'll be so happy.
You see, I'm a mental health professional, and I see how much devotees are disturbed, including myself, due to our own emotional challenges. And it's not easy on the path of bhakti to overcome. Someone hurts you, someone insults you, offends you, lets you down, disappoints you, especially in relationships. It's a very difficult thing to access our higher self when we are feeling a lot of emotion. So it's at that point that we need loving Vaishnav relationships. It is in the association of devotees, sadhus. Guru, sadhu and shastra is there to guide us during those tough points where we don't know what decisions to take or our emotions are overcoming us. And that's the time we need help. We need guidance of senior Vaishnavas who are saying, hold on, don't give way to anger or don't give way to grief or don't give way to this plan of action. The reason why we need to work on our emotional maturity is because we can't hope to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. So it goes hand in hand. And the most wonderful thing about this process of bhakti is chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, will crush all the anarthas in our heart. This is the only thing that will completely untie us from all those material conditionings that we have. This is the main gift of Lord Chaitanya that Srila Prabhupada has given us, because millions of lifetimes of anarthas, we have anger problems. I'm the first candidate for that, if you ask me. And we can get rid of all these things by taking to the process and taking shelter of the Vaishnavas, opening our hearts in confidence and receiving confidentially their instructions. This is six loving exchanges. ISKCON is very good so far for the first four, but we really need to build loving Vaishnav relationships at all levels. Brahmacharis need guidance of brahmacharis and other senior Vaishnavas. Grihasthas need guidance of grihasthas. Teenage children need guidance of mentors. And this is our attempt as humble member of Grihastha Vision team. We are trying to promote very strong, loving communities so that we have everything within ISKCON itself. That's my humble two cents. Thank you for listening patiently.
जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।